Grace be unto you and peace from the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the King who was willing to humbly ride into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey so that he could die and rise for you. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, let me ask you a purely hypothetical question. Do you know, or have you ever known, someone who needed an attitude adjustment? In reality, that's probably not so much of a hypothetical question. When a young child becomes defiant or uncooperative or just plain sassy, their mom or dad may need to sit them down and tell them, "You need an attitude adjustment." If a teenager begins to think that they know more or know better than mom or dad, that teenager needs to have someone tell them that they need an attitude adjustment. And I'm sure all of us have come across at least one or two adults who are so arrogant and so self-centered that in the back of our minds we might be thinking, "You need an attitude adjustment." As you and I gather together here in God's house on this beautiful Palm Sunday, our text for today gives us an opportunity to look into a mirror and ask ourselves the question, do I need an attitude adjustment? Today, as you and I conclude our sermon series entitled Get Ready for Easter, Paul encourages us to check our attitude. Once we are sure we have the proper attitude, then Paul comes to us and he says to you and to me, recognize your Savior. As you and I recognize who our Savior is, that will lead us to do two things. First of all, recognizing who our Savior is will lead us to learn from his humility. Secondly, recognizing who our Savior is gives us the ability to rejoice in his exaltation. Paul begins our text for today by saying to you and by saying to me, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Paul is reminding us here that as the saved and forgiven children of God, our thinking, our mindset, our attitude needs to consciously be lined up with the thinking, the mindset, the attitude of our dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But why? Why does Paul need to remind us of this truth? He reminds us, my friends, because we all know the reality. In reality, we all have that old sinful nature lurking deep down inside of us. Our old sinful nature is constantly trying to convince us to pattern our thinking, to focus our mindset, and to adopt the attitudes of the unbelieving world in which we live. All of which are the polar opposite of what our Savior wants for you and for me. As we continue then to get ready for Easter, this is a very good opportunity for us to check our attitude and see if it needs to be changed. With that encouragement of Paul in the back of our mind, let's go on. In our text, Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he reveals to us exactly who Jesus of Nazareth is. He says in verse 6, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Over and over again, Scripture very clearly proclaims to us that Jesus of Nazareth is in very nature God. In other words, Jesus is the true eternal Son of the one and only living God. In power, in majesty, in glory, in absolutely every single way, Jesus of Nazareth is absolutely equal to both God the Father as well as God the Holy Spirit. And yet, even though Jesus is true God, Paul reminds us that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Here the Apostle Paul is emphasizing that Jesus did not look at his status as being equal with God as something that he had to hang on to at any and every cost. No, rather, Jesus was willing to let go of his equality with God and take on the very nature of a servant. Very simply, what Paul is emphasizing here, my friends, is the truth that you and I celebrate each and every Christmas. The true Son of God was born into this world as our true flesh and blood brother. As you and I get ready to celebrate and remember the events of Holy Week, as you and I get ready to celebrate Easter, it is absolutely critical for us to recognize that the one who gathered there in the upper room with his disciples and gave us the sacrament of Holy Communion, the one who allowed himself to be betrayed, arrested, beaten, mocked, ridiculed, and spat upon, the one who physically rose from the dead on Easter Sunday, just as he promised he would, is both the true Son of God and the true Son of Man. Once we recognize this awesome truth, then verse 8 of our text causes us to gasp. The true eternal Son of God loves you. Yes, he loves you so deeply and so completely that being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Even though you and I did not deserve it, even though you and I have sinned against the Lord our God in countless ways, in ways that we don't even realize, Jesus loves you so very much that he humbled himself to the point of willingly laying down his life so that the entire debt of your sin could be stamped, paid in full. Think about that, my friends. The only begotten Son of the one and only true God has such an amazing love for you, yes, even you, that he was willing to pour out his holy, precious, innocent blood to redeem you, to buy you back from the power of sin, death, and the devil, so that you could be his very own and live with him forever in his heavenly home. That's the kind of humility that you and I need to learn from. That's the kind of attitude that you and I need to strive to have, especially in our relationship with our dear Lord and Savior. Instead of thinking, this is my life, and I can live my life however I might choose to live it, we are to learn from Jesus' humility and humbly live our life in a way that is pleasing to our Savior God. Instead of having the mindset that says, you know, I deserve to have this, and I want to have that, we need to learn from Jesus' humility and humbly be content with whatever the good Lord does or does not send to us during our life here on this earth. Instead of adopting the attitude that leads us to think that we had best squeeze as much joy, as much happiness, as much pleasure out of this life as we can while we can, because we never know when we're going to die, we need to learn from Jesus' humility and humbly live our life to the glory of our Savior God, always remembering that we are but strangers here on this earth. Heaven is our home. That thought then leads us to the second point that I hope that we all take home with us this morning. Recognizing who our Savior is will not only give us an attitude that leads us to learn from Jesus' humility, but recognizing who our Savior is will also give us the attitude that enables us to rejoice in his exaltation. Look at what Paul tells us in verses 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Once Jesus finished his work of saving us from our sins, once the eternal Son of God had obediently humbled himself to the point of dying on the cross as our substitute, God exalted him. He exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. The exaltation of Jesus began when he descended into hell to proclaim his victory over sin, death, and the devil himself. The exaltation of Jesus was made public on Easter Sunday when Jesus proved to his disciples that he had indeed kept his promise and physically risen from the dead. The exaltation of Jesus continued as he ascended home to heaven, where he once again took his rightful place, sitting at the right hand of the Heavenly Father. And the exaltation of Jesus will be made unmistakably clear to all nations on the day that Jesus returns to this earth in all of his power, majesty, and glory, as the judge of the living and the dead. On that day, all people, even those who crucified him, even those who reject him and ridicule him right down to this very day, on that day, all people will bow before Jesus and acknowledge that he is indeed the Christ, to the glory of our Heavenly Father. As the saved and forgiven children of God, we have been given the attitude that allows us and enables us to willingly rejoice in the exaltation of Jesus. We rejoice in his exaltation because purely by the grace and power of God, we know exactly what the Apostle Paul meant when he said that Jesus was given the name that is above every name. We rejoice in knowing that Jesus is our personal Savior from sin, the only Savior that we need. We rejoice in Jesus' exaltation because purely by the grace and power of God, we bow before Jesus and worship him every time we gather together here in his house. We rejoice in the exaltation of Jesus because we joyfully confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He is the Lord of my heart. He is the Lord of my life. And of course, we rejoice in Jesus' exaltation because by the grace and power of God alone, we know that his exaltation guarantees that one day he will fulfill the promise that he made to us and come back for us. He will come back and take us home to heaven so that we can live exalted in glory and perfection for all of eternity. In just 5 short days, my friends, you and I will once again gather together right here in God's house and listen. Listen as the Palm Sunday shouts of Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Turn into the angry, hateful cries of crucify him, crucify him. Just 2 short days later, we will reassemble here in God's house and rejoice at that glorious Easter proclamation. Do not be afraid. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. My prayer is that each and every one of us will use these next few days to finish getting ready for Easter. Finish getting ready for Easter by looking into a mirror and asking yourself, do I need an attitude adjustment? In the light of both Good Friday and Easter Sunday, do I need to change my thinking, my mindset, my attitude, so that it lines up with that of my dear Lord and Savior? Take these next few days to get ready, my friends. Take this time to recognize who your Savior is. Once you recognize who your Savior is, then by God's grace and by God's power, you will not only have the attitude that leads you to learn from Jesus' humility, But by God's grace and by God's power, you will have the attitude that enables you to rejoice in His exaltation. To God be the glory. Amen. Please rise.